is 2023, and welcome back to the Hellbound Podcast. I'm your favorite actor and favorite character in Star Trek Discovery, Michael Chan. And who are you, Mr. Super Handsome Dude over in the UK?
I am Alex Blackburn. I am the co-founder of the Hellbound Podcast with Michael. And yeah, welcome back, everyone. It's we thought we'd start the new year in February. This is coming to you then. And we're going to release reviews, very short film reviews every Saturday. So there'll be up and coming films and DVD or Blu-ray reviews, possibly unboxings in the future as well.
I have unboxings ready.
So yeah, I think that I think we're going to have some nice, really cool, interesting stuff coming up this year. So welcome back, everyone. How are you doing, Michael?
I am good. I had a good holiday season, got to spend time with family. My daughter went to winter camp at her school, which was extremely nice. And then January came along, and 2023 has been pretty good so far. You know, doing a lot of additions, doing some real estate. My kid's back in school, and she's happy with that. My son has getting his second tooth now. Although by the time this episode's released, his second tooth should be fully out. But yeah, he had some problems sleeping during the holidays, but now it's out. And I spent a good part of January digging into the video game Elden Ring, which, by the way, I do consider a horror video game because it has a lot of horror elements. Like, those monsters look very, very, very horror-like. it has some scary stuff. But here's why it's even worse. See, it's real life horror. I died like within the first 10 seconds of the game. I thought there would be no tutorial, but no, then after dying, I ended up in a tutorial where I died more. At the end of the tutorial, I had died 8 times. I walk out of the tutorial, first person I see, I thought was some kind of castle guard. Walk up to it, thinking I can press Y on my controller to talk to said knight. You know, a knight in golden armor with a golden armored horse. I mean, you would think that's a good guy. Nope. Axe comes down. I'm dead again. I have died so many times now in the first few hours of that game that it is a literal real life nightmare for me. So it is both video game horror and real life horror to play Elden Ring, even though it has been recommended to me over and over and over by everyone. And apparently the difficulty level is just a part of these Souls-like games, they call them, based on the Dark Souls. See, I think this is the same
developer, yeah.
Dark Souls. But regardless, these Souls-type games are supposed to be hard. You're supposed to learn enemy patterns, and there's a lot of vagueness, so you have to learn the game. And, you know, as a father of two and now a full-time actor, finally, it's kind of hard for me to do that, but I am not going to quit. I am taking a hiatus, though, to play One Piece Odyssey, which is not a horror game. It's a pirate anime game. But I need to kill a few things instead of getting killed 100 million times. I just need to defeat something.
Yeah.
Just to feel like my soul is pieced back together. My dark soul is pieced back together. So I need to go on an odyssey to do that. What about you, Alex? How was your holiday? How's your 2023?
It started off pretty well, and I'm in terms of work and kind of the day-to-day stuff, I'm pretty much blocked to edit or shoot something until the beginning of March. So it's completely crazy, really, really crazy. And I've just got to learn to manage that production time really well, because I'm aiming to shoot a short film at the end of January with an actor friend of mine, and she's super talented, and hopefully get to talk about that more soon. We just need to lock in dates. The script's written. I wrote it about 5 years ago and then refreshed it last year. It's a short film, a horror short film. But yeah, it's I really hope we can get that done, because just because of her timing, she's worked on I think it was World of Warcraft game or Warhammer 20,000, I think it is, recently. And so her time is really kind of tricky to kind of work around. So we need to kind of work that out. Been
Wait,
watching.
she works for Games Workshop?
No, she's done the there's been a AAA game that came out. So I think it was a PS5 game
Oh,
or a PC
PS5,
game. She basically,
Darktide.
yeah, she's been working on it for 2 years so far.
Oh wow.
So
Because like I heard good things about Darktide.
yeah, she's working on additional DLC stuff. So she's been doing voice work for 2 years, and she was telling me lines of dialogue, and so that's really fascinating. So hopefully she'll be on an episode of this show, because she's been in a couple of horror films and a couple of huge films as well. But hopefully that'll be coming up. But I've been watching a lot of horror Blu-rays recently, and most notably this one I'm showing Michael now, The Fog.
Oh my goodness.
And I love the artwork on this. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
That's the original.
That's the original, not the one with Tom Welling in. That's awful, really awful.
I remember watching the remake of The Fog and going, "What on earth is going on?" That is a definite do not recommend movie.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Have you ever watched a film like this with a group of friends that you've picked? You've decided, oh, let's watch this film. I really love it. I hope you like it. When I showed this to university classmates in 2006, everyone hated it, and I loved it. And it was such a weird scenario, because we're in halls of residence in Manchester, and I picked the film, and basically every other night, unless we were going out, someone would pick a film, host in their small room, and then kind of talk about it. And it was a really fun kind of aspect of university life. And I picked that, and everyone hated it, because I don't know why. I really don't know why. Because a lot of other people, they would pick like stupid comedies or big budget special effect things, and I would pick things that people might see as dated, but they are classics in my eyes. But it's down to personal taste in the end, isn't it?
It's like when you show The Thing to
Yeah,
people nowadays, or The Exorcist. I
absolutely. Yeah.
remember because I watched The Exorcist about 20 years ago, but still, at 20 years ago, it was still pretty, like it's already far past when The Exorcist was released. And I remember going, "This isn't scary to me." In fact, I laughed a couple of times. I didn't mean to, I can imagine when The Exorcist was released, how
Yeah.
terrifying some of the imagery was
Yeah.
for people at that time. Like, that is some terrifying stuff. I mean, it has even it kind of holds up nowadays. There are parts that don't, but mostly, like, I get it. I get why people are scared by The Exorcist. But just like that, like, if you show people a lot of like older horror, I don't think a lot of people now would get it.
No, exactly, because it's not a snobbish thing, but it's
No.
for me, the core thing is you can almost forget everything else, but the story is so important. There's a film where the story kind of wavers. This is another film I'm going to show you that I watched. I think I've talked about this before, but I watched it again on my own. Vicky and I watched this originally, so we watched this Cat People. So I really
Have
enjoyed
not
this
seen
film.
that.
It's kind of all over the place, and I do like the piece of music that David Bowie wrote, the song he wrote for it. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. And something very sinister about Malcolm McDowell. Ever since I saw him in A Clockwork Orange, I thought he's a kind of an oddball. And he was great, really great in Star Trek, I thought. But yeah,
He sure was,
then I
yep.
picked this up as well. So I picked this up recently. So this is the
Scream,
new Scream.
yes, one of my faves.
But I'm still a huge fan of and supporter of physical media, just because my internet's gone a bit skee-whiff recently.
I still buy physical media, but it's only
Yeah.
for nowadays because I can't have that much clutter anymore now.
Yeah.
Kids, right? So I've decided, you know what? Physical media is only for things that really, really blow me out of the water. For example, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I don't.
Masterpiece. I think it's the best film of last year for me. I loved it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But going back to The Fog, I just want to mention a couple of things for people who don't know. It is directed by John Carpenter. It has a screenplay by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, and it was released on February 1st, 1980. February 1st being important because that's the day today that you're listening to this, since we're releasing this episode on
Oh.
February 1st, 2023. So good pick for a
Brilliant.
topic of conversation, Alex.
Yeah, I do. There's something I really like about the atmosphere of Carpenter films and The Fog, and it's got, Janet Leigh's in it, her daughter Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. There's something I kind of cry out, and I've got ideas for wanting to shoot even just scenes from the film and trying to recreate and put things in visually in what I want to do. Dean Cundey's the cinematographer. He worked with Spielberg. He's done huge films. He was a cinematographer of Jurassic Park, and it's a great film. The Blu-ray is fantastic because it's got a commentary. I think it's by Carpenter and Dean Cundey. Audio commentary by Carpenter and Deborah Hill, which is awesome. And there's a separate one with Adrienne Barbeau, who was Carpenter's wife, who's the radio presenter, and also production designer Tommy Lee Wallace. So the Blu-ray is worth picking up just for those commentaries, for production. I've learned so much about filmmaking and lighting and all sorts of stuff from, even from the highest levels, like Ridley Scott, when he's talking about Kingdom of Heaven, talking about certain small aspects of production. And blowing light outside of huge tents when everyone's lit properly. And it's fascinating, the behind the scenes of these things. So I think it's so important. And sadly, some of that's being lost. There are behind the scenes stuff that comes with buying on Apple TV and other platforms, but the commentaries is a huge thing where you're documenting the filmmakers' thoughts and what they were going through. And so it's something that's missed out, really. Like, I listened to one on North by Northwest. The screenwriter did a commentary before he passed away, and that to hear the to him talk about Hitchcock and all that's it's a great kind of look back at how these films were made.
Moving on from masterpieces and incredible cinematography and good lighting and all that to my topic of discussion for today. Which is the complete opposite. I would like to talk about a film that my best friends and I just watched recently. It is called Birdemic 2, Resurrection.
Right. Okay.
I can see your face right now. You're like, oh no,
I'm
here
gonna
we go.
go. This is another Sharknado, isn't it?
Oh my God.
Birdemic.
So, directed and written by James Nguyen. It is the follow-up to Birdemic 1, Shock and Horror. Now, if you've watched Birdemic 1, the original, or at least have seen the trailer, you will know that Birdemic 1 had a lot of people intrigued and watching it because the trailer showed a bunch of people who were not really acting.
Oh my God. This, oh my God, Michael, this doesn't look like
And
a.
being attacked by basically animated GIF birds or clip art birds at
Oh my
times as
God.
well, and they're just flailing, and that's the trailer. I remember seeing the Birdemic 1 trailer and going, I have to watch this. This looks like a train wreck. I have to watch, and thank God. Same group of friends. We watched Birdemic 1 a few years ago, and it's one of those movies where it's so bad, it actually is good because you can see that they were serious about making this film. Like they're trying, but just everything failed. Like everything failed.
Oh
And
my God. Can you
it's one
tell?
of those types of movies where you watch it and then it becomes a social experience because once you've seen it once, you don't need to see it again. But you do talk about it forever. So then Birdemic 2. Birdemic 2 is available, by the way, on Tubi. You can watch it for free. Has commercials. Trust me, you'll need the commercials because your brain needs a break. Birdemic 2 was made with a budget of $300,000 US, which, by the way, for what they came up with, I am shocked that they couldn't do better, but whatever.
What's the premise? What's the premise, Michael?
Birdemic 2 follows people trying to make an indie film. Yeah. And the blood rain from the original rains on LA and resurrects a bunch of ancient birds along
Oh
with
my God.
some people, including cave people and people in cemeteries.
This has got to be one of the worst trailers I've ever seen. And what I'm basically, I might seem distracted, but whilst Michael's talking about the film, I've just been checking out Birdemic 2, the Resurrection trailer on YouTube. And
No, by all means.
how someone, this looks like I'm not going to say a student film, but this is,
It's worse.
the effects are horrific.
I think, legitimately think, James Nguyen, I think he saw the, it's like Tommy Wiseau, right? He
It looks
did The
exactly, that's
Room.
exactly who I was thinking of while
No,
seeing
this
it.
is worse than, I know, but this is worse than The Room. But the whole point is, it's a filmmaker who made something honestly, who made something seriously without trying to be bad. And it came out so bad, it's a cult classic, and people fall in love with it. Now, Tommy Wiseau never followed up The Room with like The Room 2 or anything.
Yeah.
But James here decided, you know what? I'm going to try to make another one since I'm making a lot of money out of the very little I clearly spent on the first movie. And so he somehow has $300,000, and I feel like the second movie, a lot of the bad stuff, like the terrible filmmaking, is on purpose because there are a lot of meta references. Like, I mean, it follows independent filmmakers. There
Yeah.
is even an Asian character that talks about making a film about birds attacking. So it's just him, right?
And there is a
Like,
Tom, there is someone in the trailer that looks like Tommy Wiseau as well.
kind of
He's got like
that
a,
character
yeah, with a bad black
on long
wig.
black hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he no, that's a character from the first movie.
Oh my God.
But there are characters that come back from the first movie. But this film, despite I think being bad on purpose, still achieved the so bad it's good aspect of it. It's not so bad it's good as the first one. So the first one is better because, again, I do believe he made that honestly. So it just came out bad. This one, he understood what made it bad, the first movie bad, and then came into this making an absolutely horrid film. But it's so bad. Like, I was laughing the entire film. I'll give you examples of bad things. They have to blur out people's faces, license plates, ads, billboards, store signs, everything. So everywhere you go, there's blurs everywhere. Everywhere. Plot holes galore. Like when the zombies show up, they only have a certain amount of money to hire a certain amount of actors to be zombies. So it's the same ones. And no matter how many times they get killed with headshots, they come
Yeah.
back. And then they never even deal with, like, once the birds are dealt with, no one says anything about the fact that there are still zombies, human zombies. There have a scene where a woman gets attacked by a jumbo giant jellyfish, which every character keeps saying over and over again, jumbo giant jellyfish, jumbo giant jellyfish, jumbo giant. Anyways, so but that scene is just a animated GIF background of water. They filmed a woman's legs just flailing around like this, just her
Oh my
legs. They
God,
filmed that and then
yeah.
inserted it, and then had the worst CGI jellyfish ever just swim up to her legs, and then had her twitch a little, and then they cut to an actress coming out of the water, And the blood, the scratches and the blood, this continuity errors galore with the blood.
Oh my God.
Also, I don't know how he did it, but James was able to somehow rent out a part of Universal Studios
Yeah.
in LA.
How did he get the budget to do that?
I don't know.
Like, how'd you get the permission to say, unless you're a huge film, how, why would they tarnish themselves with that?
I don't know. They even have it like, oh man, I think they got royalties to songs and just because they didn't. Honestly, this film could be about 20 minutes long. That's how much story
Jesus.
really is. So they had to draw it out with montages that they clearly had to pay rights for music for, and they
Yeah.
play entire songs. They even had some guy, like they brought in a singer who's to sing his own song in a nightclub scene or a bar scene, whatever. I don't even know what that was supposed to be. It was shot in a studio that was really poorly put together, and the poor guy was standing essentially on an apple box singing his entire song while the cast was just partying and eating. There was no point to that scene, really. So there's
Oh
just
my
a lot
God.
of that.
It's on purpose though, isn't it? The bad effects and stuff,
This
right?
time, I think it's on purpose. I do believe it's on purpose, but it's still the creativity in how bad this film can be is incredible. It's just like I said, James Nguyen understood what made his first movie bad and what made fans of the film like it, even though it was so bad, and was able to almost replicate it in the second film. But like I said, it's very obvious at this point that he's in on it. He knows, and it's
Yeah.
all on purpose. But it's still worth a single watch with a group of friends with some alcohol, because it was for my birthday party. Okay. Like that's why we watched it.
Oh my God.
And it was just wow. It was a hoot. We love my wife Jess, her brain exploded. Like she couldn't process anymore while
Oh my
watching
God.
that
Did
scene.
she actually watch the whole thing?
I mean, thank goodness for her. Our son needed, like, he wasn't able to sleep, so he was there with us for a while, and then she had to take him up to put him, to bed. So she got to skip a part. But her brain was so thoroughly wrecked just by the first part that she watched, that it just she needed that break. It's that bad. But this also, like, we're sitting here talking about $300,000 US, and meanwhile my own production company, very new, was able to make an award-winning short film that's been, selected at a bunch of festivals, and we are struggling to even come up with $100,000 Canadian. And somehow James Nguyen got 300,000 US to make literally one of the worst films I've ever seen. And I'm not bitter because I think good for him. Good for him,
He made
because
something.
I guarantee you he made money. I guarantee you he made money. Dude, he got distribution on Tubi.
Oh my God. What, for the
So
second one or both?
pardon?
For the second one or both of them?
Both of them are on Tubi. There's now a third one, I believe, that I
Oh
will
my
eventually
God.
watch and probably review on here.
Thank God it's only, what, 1 hour and 19 minutes? That's the second one, yeah.
It's an hour too long.
It sounds like a scene. Oh my God.
So my official score is like minus 10 out of 10, but like my should you watch it? Watch it once with friends.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Don't take it seriously. If you're a snooty film watcher, don't watch it because you're gonna hate
I've got some really. I just read some. Brought it up on Wikipedia.
it.
With Birdemic 2, The Resurrection, you were saying it's $300,000. This is hilarious. Right. In October 2016, an Indiegogo campaign was raised in order to finance the third film of the series. The funding was eventually closed, with roughly only $596 raised out of 500 grand needed.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Despite that, it
Oh
was announced in March 2021 that production of the third film had begun.
and it is out. It is definitely out. Birdemic 3 Sea Eagle
Yeah. Oh
was
my God.
released last year in 2022.
With a re yeah, release plan of 2022, that's right. And it says at the end of the reception, the worst film of the year. Oh,
So,
hilarious.
listeners, I will eventually be watching Birdemic 3 Sea Eagle and telling you how that went.
Oh my God. It's got a
How did they get the money?
Do you know what the funny thing is? On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got no, it's basically grayed out the tomato meter because there's only two critic reviews, so it doesn't even register. And it's got audience score of 26%. But make of that what you will. Oh my God. There's 100 reviews, there's over 100 reviews.
Just so you know, so Birdemic 2 had a $300,000 budget. Birdemic 3's is 100,000. I expect it to be two-thirds worse.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's self-funded. I
I
really wouldn't be
wonder,
surprised.
Birdemic 1 budget. Let's see what Birdemic 1 was. $10,000. My short film cost $15,000.
Oh my God. I think we have to invite James on the podcast. I really do.
Podcast. I love him. I love him. You have no idea. This man is living a dream.
You know
Making
what?
like, no, I'm serious, man. He has the funds. How?
Oh
This
my
is
God. Oh my God. I've
amazing.
just found a picture of him. I think we'll end up sharing this on this
Is this
picture.
the one with him with the cigar? Yes.
Yeah, so that's a copy of a Hitchcock picture. So
Yes, I
Hitchcock's
know
gone
which
with a crow, yeah. I love this, right? There's an interview with him on this webpage. We're not going to watch it, but it's how to master 3D. You gotta master the basics first.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Birdemic 2 is so cheap, they couldn't even afford a real ambulance. They had to CG one in.
I think this is going to be your first, depending on how many we do and what we do, I think this is going to be your first. We could just clip this up and put it on a Saturday just to review the film. I think this might be the series of films you have to cover.
Just 5 minutes of me laughing. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like Michael Chan's review of Birdemic 2, just laughing.
Oh my God.
I can't.
Oh,
Oh,
that's.
but no, guys, I'm not joking. Kudos to James because it's not easy. Okay, like as a producer myself, I know how hard it is to get money to make anything. And for him to be able to get money to make his films is an incredible achievement. And to make money off of those films is an achievement, right? It has
Yeah.
like there has to be marketing of some sort and
I love the kind of weight you put behind that marketing of some sort.
yeah, but he made money. He had to have.
Oh, let's hope so.
So
Let's hope
again,
so.
still he has distribution on Tubi. Like that
Yeah.
says something.
Well, if he's got
And you can
distribution on
also buy
there.
it on Google TV. You can purchase this film. So like, and there's physical media you can buy too.
He budgeted the first film. His own income was the 10 grand.
Oh, absolutely, I believe
Yeah.
that. I mean,
Yeah.
like the short film that I co-produced, Fishbowl, we self-funded. Of course we did. And the next film we're doing, which we're filming in April, which is also a horror film, will also be self-funded because that's how you start. But
Yeah.
300,000, no way that he self-funded that. So James Wynn, good for you. I applaud you because you clearly worked hard and found a way. You found a way to do it. And dude, if you can make those films and make money, I salute you
I
because
want to, and
that's
I
the
tell,
dream.
I agree. I It is the dream. It really is to make any feature length. It is the dream.
Clearly they're having fun, right? Like they had
But
to have had fun.
I want to have, I almost want to have him on the show just to sit back and listen to him and see what his kind of a guy is, you know? And apparently in 2016, there's an interview with Vice where he says he's hoping eventually to make Birdemic 3 Sea Eagle, which will be his last film.
Well, he made it, so I guess that's his
So
last film.
is it out? Is Birdemic 3 available?
Yeah, it is.
Oh my
It's out.
God.
It came out last year. So,
Oh my God. Oh my God. Available Amazon, surely not. Surely you
can we
can't buy
please
it.
get James on the show so I can beg him for Birdemic 4?
Oh my
I would
God.
love if he did Birdemic 4, Birds in Space.
Oh my God,
Then maybe
like Jason
Birdemic
Isaacs did.
5, Birds Through Time.
Yeah.
And Birdemic 6, Birds versus, I don't know,
Sharknado.
aliens. Pardon?
Birds versus Sharknado.
Oh my God, he needs, yes, Birdemic versus Sharknado. He needs to team up with Sharknado.
Oh my
See?
God.
See, get him on the show. We're gonna help him. He's gonna get more movies made.
It is a subculture, this kind of film, really, isn't it?
It really is. I just don't think anyone does it as well as I don't know how to say this. I don't want to say as crappy because even though, you know, no, I don't. I have not seen like even Velocipaster.
Oh my God,
Which
yeah.
is, I'll save that for a Saturday review. But even Velocipaster is not like this. Like this beats Velocipaster hands down.
Okay, not to turn this slightly serious, but where did the money go in the sequel? Where did that 300 grand go? What from your personal experience, where was that money spent
Where
in
did
that
it
film?
go? It went to
Don't say visual effects.
the sheer number of actors they had in the background.
Right.
So the zombies and all that, and the characters that died.
Yeah.
Two, royal. Sorry, the yeah, the rights to music.
Right. And that's the reason
And
they
multiple
play.
songs.
That's why, because he must have thought, I've got rights to this. I pay for this. I'm going to use the entire song.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Some of those songs, the montage like was a mix of real footage and then stock footage. Okay, like
Oh my God.
they had to draw it out. And finally, money went to oh boy, renting out Universal Studios. And that's it. That's 300,000 right there.
The description, the very short description is a flock of sea eagles attack the coastal town of Santa Cruz, California. Why did the birds attack and who will survive?
Oh, they're in Santa Cruz this time because their
Yeah.
characters go to Santa Cruz in Birdemic 2.
Oh my God.
But then go back to LA. So I'm gonna get okay. So they've already had a relationship with Santa Cruz, so they were able to just, I guess, go back to whoever they talked to, and
Yeah.
I guess pay for some locations to use in Santa Cruz. And there you go. That's Birdemic 3.
There's a character in the cast list. Lee, there's no picture on IMDb, but this character's called Doctor Extinction.
Ah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Anyway, we should leave it there because I actually probably will one drunken night probably watch at least the first one.
I apologize ahead of time.
It's fine. It's fine.
For your misery.
I'll have to be like, I don't know, sedated after or something, because that looks awful.
It is. But at least we'll have stuff to talk about for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
My best friend Bianco quotes that movie a lot.
Quotes
a
it.
Lot. Because that's one of the things about these types of films, right? There's always amazing one-liners or amazing sentences that are so bad that you just can't stop quoting.
That's true. I've got to say that's true, yeah. Oh,
Jumbo God. Giant jellyfish.
That's like,
okay.
That's like a warming-up exercise, isn't it? It's like a warming-up exercise, that.
I think this is enough for our listeners today.
No, I veered off a cliff with this, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So, if you like what you're hearing, want to hear more from us, please consider subscribing to our show on your podcast platform of preference. It would help us greatly to get onto the front page. Also, if you can give us a positive review, or like 5 out of 5 stars, 10 out of 10, whatever the rating system is on your podcast platform, that would be much appreciated. We are also on social media, on Instagram, and it is at The Hellbound Podcast. We love to feature other artists' works, like cosplays and makeup and music and all that. So if you have anything you would like us to feature on our Instagram, just send us a private message or DM and we will get on that. So again, that's at The Hellbound Podcast. Thank you so much from Alex and myself for listening to us. We really appreciate your support. And as always, harness the darkness.